blessed beyond belief. My biggest blessing is the encouragement that I get from you folks for the journey. And that's not to minimize all the other gifts of charity, the gifts of love that we get here, me and my family. I want to thank you for all those gifts, and especially prayer. Brother, I've grown to really appreciate prayer more than anything else. Amen? Because we want to enlist the hand of God in whatever we do. Amen? And so I certainly appreciate your prayer. I'm a Lone Ranger today. My brown sugar couldn't be with us today. You know who that is. That's my wife and my brown sugar cubes. They're a big part of my ministry, especially now that they're doing a whole lot of singing, my granddaughters. But anyhow, we're here today, and we open with a song, and let's go to the Lord once again in prayer. Father, your word says that be strong in the Lord and the power of your might. You said to put on the whole armor of God, that we may stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Help us, Lord, to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, Lord, that we might take the shield of faith, wherewith you promise that we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And help us, Lord, to put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. As we pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Father, I know this isn't true for everybody, but it's true for too many of us. Lord, we're part of your army. And you've given us the armor to use. And God, you're going to allow the armor to be tested. God, help us, I pray, to be fellow soldiers with and for one another. Bless our time together, Lord, today. I certainly echo the prayer that my brother Adam prayed. Certainly agree with everything he said. And now, Lord, please, once again, I pray you forgive us, cleanse us, and fill us with your Spirit. Because without him, we can't put on his armor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I asked Dr. Ivory, I mean, you know him as you know him as Doc Caesar, amen? He calls me Ebony. I don't know why he calls me Ebony, but anyhow, we are like two peas in a pod. You know, we try to epitomize the whole concept of grace and truth. You know, I'm probably in error sometimes when I preach a whole lot about God's grace. But I tell you, that brother brings the truth, doesn't he? Yeah, you know, not only that, but I have found him to be one of the most loving men I've ever met in my life. And if you don't know that, you don't know him well. Amen. I mean, that brother will take the shirt off of his back and give it to you, as he has done with me. And I am so appreciate being in the same army with him. And I could go in a foxhole with him at a moment's notice. Amen. I remember once when he refused to close the church down, and yet he said he wanted me to preach. I said, well, how should I come, man? What if I get locked up? He said, well, just bring an extra set of clothing. So I did. We didn't get locked up that day, but you know, it could happen any day. But all kidding aside, folks, I'm really glad to be here. And you know, this is kind of more informational than anything else. You know, I just wanted to kind of rehearse it with some of you that heard some of the things I'm going to mention today. And for those of you, and there's a lot of folks that I don't remember talking to about this Gladiators ministry. I know your pastor's been doing a lot of praying. And so what I want to do is kind of bring you up to speed and help you to better understand, because we are fully getting really, 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 really engaged in this whole thing. And one of the reasons why I'm soliciting help from the body of Christ at large is because this is war. And if we're going to experience the victory that God has already given us, how many of you know that as a Christian, we don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. The Word of God says God has made us more than conquerors to him that loved us. Amen. We fight from victory. But nonetheless, we still have to fight. And we have to use this armor. And so the first thing I'd like to do, and you've already answered this call, but I want to read a letter that I'm giving to the body of Christ at large. Dear Pastor, this is a Macedonian call, Acts chapter 16, verse 9. Please come over in spirit to Rochester to help us. My name is Tony Saxon. I'm currently serving the Lord as an evangelist with the heart of a pastor after having been a pastor for 22 years. My mission field, like yours, is the world, starting in our own backyard. My Jerusalem is Avenue D Community, where I work and live in the heart of the inner city of Rochester, New York. And I highlight that community because it's known, unfortunately, as a murder capital of at least the state of New York per capita. We're on our 74th or 71st murder. And a lot of those murders take place right in the area where I served as a pastor. So my heart is really very much burdened. I saw some, I don't want to take much time to emphasize this, but my neighbor got shot 9 times outside of my bedroom window. Never will forget. A couple years after that, there was somebody got ambushed at the end of my street. And they executed in broad daylight, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I buried a young man that got executed a couple blocks away from me. I mean, I'm not boasting. You know, it's not a novelty for me or, you know, to be in that community, but that's where God has planted me. Amen. And he wants to use me, you know, as his hands and his feet, his mouthpiece. Amen. As his body to come against all the killing, stealing and destroying of lives in Rochester, particularly. My brother and I personally feel like the inner cities of the United States are the greatest mission fields in the world. And certainly no offense to you, Adam. I just believe that. I believe the enemy is stealing, killing, and destroying lives as we speak. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, I come that you might, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. A missionary friend of mine, Bobby Bonner. Bobby used to play for the Baltimore Orioles. I don't know if anybody follows baseball. He never did make the starting lineup because he was playing behind Bobby Gritch and the Iron Man. I forget, Palmer's. Anyhow, the point was this, is that he felt the call of God to quit playing professional baseball, and he went to Zambia, and he's responsible for helping to start over 300 churches in Zambia. Well, Bobby came over to our church a few years ago, maybe 15 years ago, and he told me this. He said, Tony, the devil is trying to wipe out black people. And I said, listen, brother, the devil's trying to wipe out, he ain't prejudiced, he's trying to wipe out everybody. And he said, no, he said, not like black people, Tony. He said, you know what, Tony? I would rather be in the jungles of Africa than on the streets of Avenue D where you serve. And I think what he was alluding to was this. Animals don't shoot back. Amen? Well, unlike Bobby, I would rather be on the streets of Avenue D where I live still. Amen? Than over in Africa, and I don't mind visiting. My brethren, God has given me his burden, not only to see men, women, boys, and girls get saved, but also to see them discipled like never before. As an evangelist, the Lord has given me more open doors of opportunity to evangelize and a ministry tool to see people saved and discipled. The ministry tool is called God's Gladiators. It is a discipleship ministry birthed from Ephesians 6:10-18 concerning the armor of God. Considering the nature of the spiritual battle we face, not only in our personal lives, but especially in our inner cities, this ministry tool is appropriately named. God's Gladiators is a Christ-centered discipleship ministry established by me as I served as senior pastor at Charity Bible Baptist Church in 1993. Some aspects of this ministry has been and is still being used to help those who are faithful to its disciplines become more Christ-like. As I had mentioned, I started the ministry back in 1993 to help establish young men primarily in our church to disciple them. It's one thing that people get led to the Lord, but they need to be discipled. Amen. They need to be encouraged to follow you. If you have the audacity to say this, follow me as I follow the Lord. You have to make sure you follow the Lord. Amen. That's part of the Great Commission. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And Lord, I'm with you even until the end of the age. Amen. And so we started it for that purpose. But as I ministered in that area, and, you know, I used to do a whole lot of outreaches. I kind of make those famous in our particular area. You know, any kind of outreach we could do to draw young people particularly. And one of the reasons why I favor young people so much is a lot of those kids are growing up the way I did. Without a mom, my mother died at 3. Without a father figure in the house, when my mother died and left 8 of us behind, the man that was considered my father took off after a few months. And so we were kind of left 8 of us to kind of fend for ourselves. I found out years later that he wasn't really my father. My father, my biological father, was a family doctor, you know. But anyhow, I said all that to say this. And I know there's a lot of dysfunction today, more than when I was growing up, and that was 60 years ago. But nonetheless, especially in the home, the problem is dysfunctional families. Amen. The greatest institution that God established for human government is a family. Amen. And many families are dysfunctional, but not like the ones I see every day. And so I'm really burdened for families. And as I mentioned, as I go a little bit, how does old ministry really affect family structure? Once again, my brethren, I need the help of the body of Christ at large. Here's how you can help if you are interested. Please pray. That's the support we need most. Enclosed is a suggested prayer list, and I gave you that. Anybody need a prayer list? I've got more. I've got more copies. You weren't here, brother. I'll make sure you get one. I look for you every time I come. They could call you Chocolate Thunder. Please consider allowing me to come to your church to share my testimony, burden, and ministry to motivate, challenge, and encourage you and the church family to evangelize and disciple people in your mission field. How many of you Christians, you know, whether you're in the inner city or not, we're still responsible for the city. Amen. And for some of you, it's your Jerusalem. For some, it's your Judea. For some, it's Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And certainly, we need to be concerned about the overseas. But we're all responsible. You know, so goes the city, so goes the suburbs, and, you know, so on and so forth. A lot of garbage that happens in the suburb, people come to the city to get it, take back out there again. So we're all connected. Didn't God say, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and I'll bring healing. God wants to heal through his people. God's Gladiators Ministry. I said this was informational. The preaching is going to start a little bit later, but I want you to get a clear understanding of what we're talking about here. As I mentioned, I started the ministry back in 1993, and I had to adapt it to fit the young men that were in the city. And we've been able to do that. And that's not just young men now. We've opened it up. We've made it inclusive for young men, young women, and people of all ages. What is a gladiator? I'm glad you asked. A gladiator is a person who is equipped with physical armor and weapons. They are then trained to fight or defend themselves from others to entertain their audiences. Spiritually speaking, what is a gladiator? Another good question. God's gladiators are soldiers in God's spiritual army who are equipped with spiritual armor. They too are then trained to defend themselves and to fight against the spiritual enemies to the glory of the Lord. What is our vision? It's God's. It is to see his gladiators conform to his image or likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Romans 8, 28-29. We're all familiar with that verse, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. I like that song. We don't have time to sing it. I wish I did. But be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that thou art. Amen. God wants us to have him as our vision, our goal, our purpose in life. You know, he saves us for that reason, to conform us to his image. Amen. So that we can experience, embrace, and express the love of God. That's another message. Our mission is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. To love people as Jesus does. To serve others in love. To tell everyone about God's love. It's our mission. The purpose for God's Gladiators ministry is to teach our members biblically and by personal example how to learn and apply the spiritual disciplines that will help them to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. The ministry also will provide spiritual family relationships with God as our Father and as members of his family. We all as members of his family. How many of you know that God is more in favor of spiritual families than he is biological families? Adam, would you please look in Matthew chapter 12, verses 48 through 50. And read that for us with that beautiful baritone voice that you have. I'm partial to baritones and basses, folks. And that's one of the reasons why I sing so deep. I'm trying to bring baritone back. Amen? Matthew chapter 12, verses 48 through 50. Maybe we need to back up one verse, brother. That'll work. Behold, my brothers, my sisters, my mothers, those who do the will of God. God commands all of us, every man, to be born again, to repent and to believe the gospel. And as soon as you do that, you are born into the eternal family of God. My brethren, you are stuck with me for all eternity. So when I say that I'm your big brown baritone brother from another mother, there's a lot of truth to that for all eternity. Amen. So it's a ministry will also provide a positive alternative to negative gang membership. And I emphasize that is because a lot of young men we were leading to the Lord, man, you know, through the outreaches that we had. And they were some amazing outreaches. And we, you know, I used to do outreaches for the whole community. And we'd have upwards of 3,000 people right behind our church, leading them to Christ. Basketball tournaments, you name it, we had it. Anything that we could do to encourage people to come out. A lot of them were young people. I'd see them get saved. We'd have activities for them. And they go, and you'll see this in the slide, they would go right from our church, right to the recreation center, which was the hub of the community, to the gangs on the corner. Looking for family. We can't just lead folks to Christ, man. We got to teach them how to follow the Lord. Amen. Our arch enemy, the devil, uses our intrinsic need for positive family relationships to deceive those with and without good family relations into joining gangs or organizations or ideologies contrary to Christ-centered Organisms or organizations. What am I saying? Time won't allow me to elaborate, but just look around you and see the influence of Satan, how he influences people through the old sin nature, through the systems of this world, through demonic influence to turn against Christ, using government. His MO is always to try to usher his kingdom, his indoctrinations, his theology to the government. We've got to turn the tide. Our arch enemy, the devil, uses our intrinsic need for positive family. Not just bad families are affected. Good families are being affected. I mean, they're under hellacious attack. Like never before. Can I get an amen? Let me move along here. I want to mention this and then we'll get on with the slides. Our Gladiators ministry is designed to mirror the original Boys and Girl Scouts organizations, what they used to be. Our U.S. military, the Awana ministry, and the Olympian ministry. We got to have structure. And some of those organizations had some good structure to them. And we want to make sure that we provide that structure, that organization. One of the outreaches that I had just past 2 weeks ago, we call it Love Thy Neighbor Day. And I wanted to use that to help reintroduce the Gladiators to my community. So we invited everybody on my street, 80 houses, to lunch. God provided. You guys helped with that as well. Amen. I didn't realize it was going to wind up on television. But what a great promotional opportunity. Amen. But what am I trying to say? Folks, my heart is towards people. When you really love God, when you come to a place in your life, man, where you're experiencing the love of the Spirit, then you embrace that love. In other words, you keep experiencing, you keep yourself in the love of God. Then you're able to express that love to other people. I tell you, one way to know that you're really abiding in Christ, or continuing to remain in a close relationship with him, is your attitude towards people. When you're connected to the Lord, you see people the way God does. You see people in need. You know, there's no hatred. There's no room for hatred when you're filled with the Spirit of God. You hate sin, but you love the sinner. Our ministry will help to provide various field trips to enhance real life changing experiences, teaching members how to serve at home in their communities and on present and future jobs, by bringing in guest speakers who will encourage our Gladiators to follow Christ throughout their lives and who will strengthen our resolve to stand as examples of goodness of God in our communities, to encourage them to do their best academically to the glory of God, to enhance their quality of life by creating a fun-filled environment with disciplines which will encourage them to continue their membership and others to become members, by teaching our members to submit to God's ordained authority. People want that. Kids want that. They just need to know that you love them enough to help them to do right. They're so confused. They're so victimized. And not just in the city, but everywhere. But God has called me to the city. Let me give you an example. I don't know. Have anybody ever seen the slides I'm about to share with you? This is our logo right here. God's Gladiator. You have that logo. You notice that, you know, I could have picked a logo that was really a little bit more exciting, but I like the way it spells out the armor of God. You see the helmet of salvation? I don't know if you can see it back there or not. You see the breastplate of righteousness from here to here? You see the shield of faith? The sword of the Spirit? You see the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? It spells out the armor. And that's why we chose that, amen? And we'll explain that to our young people so they have a better understanding. Okay, the next slide. This is the young man. Well, he's as old as I am, but I'm young too. But anyhow, we're going to dedicate the ministry to him because he kind of epitomizes the love that he has for these kids at the recreation center. That's the hub. That's where we started. Beautiful picture. Next one. These are some of the kids that we were having a session, and some of these kids are gone now, but we'll get some of them back. Of course, this is a young man over here on your left. That's me. And this is a young man who's going to be one of our teachers. He's no longer with us, unfortunately. This my granddaughter over here. You've seen her before. Next slide. He's teaching, and I'm just kind of cracking jokes over here to his left. Here's my daughter, Teresa, and her two girls in the back. They're all gladiators. There's my older brother from another mother. Of course, you know that's me, and this is one of our strong leaders, and he's no longer with us. You know, we have casualties. All armies have casualties. Amen. Let's move it. This is my neighbor. That's just a great picture. One of our gladiators. Like I said, it's inclusive. It's not just male. It's female as well. Amen. Keep moving. That man is out of his mind. Next slide. He's 5'7". He's gonna dunk that one day. Next slide. Of course, this is me standing next to the church that I used to pastor. I want to show the proximity between this church and the recreation center right next door. The recreation center is over here, and we used to have all the grounds that the city that owned. And I had a meeting with the mayor, and she told me, she said, Tony Saxon, you can do anything that you want to do in the city. So they opened up the door so I could go in and I could take Christ into the recreation center. And the grounds, you can't see it, but behind is the grounds to the recreation center right next door to the church. When we first got there, this church was surrounded by 12-foot-tall trees with vines all over them, trees in the driveway, and we cleaned that whole thing out. Amen? These are guys that, I'm sorry, can you see? Some of the guys on the block that I had built relationship with, and I want to be careful about what I say, because some of these guys are—they're not as nice as they look. You know, I had a way with positively influencing the lives of the young men. They knew that I loved them. That made all the difference in the world. I remember once, and I'm going to say this because you see how nice my teeth looked. Somebody bought me these teeth about 3 years ago, 2 years ago. Well, they had said, Pastor, we can buy you some teeth. I said, you know, I'd rather get the money another way. They were willing to pay for them off the drug money. Keep it moving before I say too much. I know I need to lose a little weight, but this is one of the most infamous corners for the wrong reason in all of New York State. It's called Conkey and Avenue D, known for all the wrong things. Now, it's not as bad as it was when we first got there, but it's still pretty rough. Keep it moving. Next slide. These guys, they were reflecting on this booklet here. We had a camp that we had had a collaboration with a bunch of other churches in the suburbs, in the city, First Bible Baptist Church. And what we did is we wanted to see if we could work together as churches. So we had an outreach to reach inner city kids and to bus them out to Greece, out in the suburbs, and have a 5-day camp with them. where these guys are, they were reminiscing because this was the first camp, and they were, you can't see it in the picture, but they were a lot younger at the particular time. But now they've gotten older, and these guys are strong in the street. I still love them to death, guys. You know, I could give you a little bit of history on each of them, but it might go further than here, so I want to be careful with that. Keep it moving. This is right behind the center. We have basketball courts, tennis courts, and I remember once we had an outreach, and a pastor friend of mine, he came up, and he stood over the courts, and he looked out back, and he said, "Brother Saxton," he said, "you got something here that churches pay millions of dollars for. You got a gymnasium. You got basketball courts. You got a big field out here." And I said, you know what I told him? I said, "I know." All right, next picture. Of course, there's yours truly praying over the area. Next picture. It's in front of my house. I love that house. They don't build houses like that. I don't own a mortgage anymore. Amen. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to go somewhere where I can pay $10,000, $12,000 a year for taxes. You can have that. I'm going to stay right where God has planted me. I'm looking over the city, praying over the city. Next slide. Of course, there's my brown sugar. Isn't she pretty? We just did a skit together over at Brother Constantino's at the marriage conference. They let us get away with it. We called the skit, we called it "Hit the Road, Jack, and Don't You Come Back." Now, you know my wife, she's a pretty tough chick. She reminds me of a she reminds me of us, Sister Caesar. And so anyhow, I won't have time. I'm running out of time. Let me tell you this. And so somebody might hear. Let me shut up. Move it. Next slide. All right. That's pretty much it. But anyhow, folks, I just wanted to give you an idea. You know, a picture speaks louder than a thousand words. And this is a very viable ministry, a very powerful ministry, and one that is very, very needed. Amen. And I had mentioned last time I was here, it's a ministry that I'm kind of retiring into. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying I'm retiring. I got my second wind. I'm 68 years old. In a few weeks, I'll be 69. And I feel better right now, spiritually, not so much physically, but emotionally, knowing who I am in Christ. And I want to give more of my time to this particular ministry. I've got a vision of this ministry even growing as large, if Lord willing, into somewhat of an orphanage. You know, because I'm going to have to spend time with these not only just young men. People are hurting for love. I mean, genuine love. I still go in stores, and I sing to, well, who was with me over at, well, you were singing with me, so you're just as nutty as I am. No, but I go in, I sing songs like, "God is love. Yes, he is. He loves you all the time. And God is love. You know he is. He loves you all the time. And you can search the whole world over and no greater love you find. God doesn't love you once in a while. God doesn't love you once in a while. God doesn't love you once in a while. He loves you all the time." Songs like, "For God to love you, he gave his only begotten son. And if you believe in him, you won't perish. You have everlasting life." John 3:16. People melt. You know what they ask me, brother? "Where's your church? I want to go to your church." I wish I had done this 20 years ago. No, the point I'm trying to make is people are looking for love. You know, let's make the distinction. They're looking for God's love. They're not looking for man's love. Amen? And that's why I characterize my life with the whole concept of putting feet on charity, walking in the love of God. Now, what time am I supposed to be done here? 10:30? Oh, thank you, Pastor. Thank you very much. Yeah, we wrote this track by God's grace. God's greatest gift, he loves you. And it talks about the who, the what, who, what, when, where, why, and how of the love of God. Amen. And people respond. We start singing these songs. My grandkids start singing about how much God loves you. Then they start passing out tracts, and people stand there and they read them. They read them. People need. There's another song we sing. Matter of fact, you got a copy of it. Somebody revised the song. Is she here? What's that Bill Withers song? Lean on him when you're not strong. He'll be your friend. He'll help you carry on and on. It won't be long. You're gonna need the Lord to lean on. See? She won't do it. People need the love of God. Let me start here. I'm going to start a message that I'm going to finish after we have our slide presentation and a special from the Caesars. Amen. But then we'll break. We typically break at 10:30. Okay. Because some of you folks are getting hungry. I can tell because I am too. Somebody told me they cooked. But anyhow, who needs the armor? You know, you do well to memorize that portion of Scripture, folks. Who knows that portion of Scripture by heart? What's so important about memorizing Scripture is that it becomes even more important when you meditate on the Scripture that you memorize. You know, one of the prayers that I pray every day is, Lord, please help me to memorize the Word. Meditate on it. Hide it in my heart. Obey it from my heart so that your love would be perfected in me. So that I can walk in the light of it and not sin against you. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Each piece is obviously very significant. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, the rest of the armor, the shield of faith, where he promises you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. I'm tempted to preach right now, but I'm going to wait. Because it's the word of God that protects the mind. You know, you hear a lot of times that the battle's in the mind. Listen, the battle is not only in the mind, but it's for the mind too. That's why you have to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring every thought into obedience and captivity of Christ. Having readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. It's the word of God that protects the mind if you obey it. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying with all prayer. Who needs the armor? Listen, everybody needs the army. Whether you're saved or lost, you need the armor. But listen, you don't have the armor if you're not saved. You are defenseless against the enemy. But the moment you get saved, you are enlisted into God's army. And God suits you up with the armor. It's imperative that we teach even our young ones what the armor is all about, because I tell you, the enemy, and he's the same MO, he comes after our children stronger and harder than he does us. Starting with our babies, he wants them aborted. It's a real battle. You're not as old as I am, sister. You've been around a little while. You might not be. A little bit. You didn't have to tell me. But anyhow, folks, I've never seen the war raging as much as it is right now. In my own house. The demonic indoctrination is very, very real, especially through the media. I might get in trouble with talking about fake news, but it's the truth. And I'm not just saying that because Trump said it. But when you, brother, I'm up to here with so, I'm up to here with this. The ultra-conservative side and the ultra-liberal side. The truth has got to be in the middle somewhere where you're liberated. Amen? In Christ. This whole business about catering to your constituents. Man, we got to stand for Jesus, man. We have to put on that full armor of God because we're raging war. Lest we get caught up. And one side or the other, we need to be Christ-centered. And the armor of God will help you to become Christ-centered because it has everything to do. And this is where I'm going to leave you off. The armor of God has everything to do with putting on the characteristics of the living word, the new man, the Lord Jesus Christ, by being obedient to the written word of God, which is the Bible. That's a practical way of putting on the spiritual armor. Father, thank you for giving everybody grace for putting up with me. I just pray that you'd bless us now, dear Father, as we take this break before we go into the other part of this service. Lord, we want to thank you and praise you for putting us in the army and suiting us up. God, help us, I pray, to put it on and keep it on. We pray in Jesus' name. Go ahead, brother.